So in today's podcast, I want to discuss a concept that I sort of put out there on social media recently. Getting tickled by the plant. And it caused some confusion. I got a lot of questions about it. Trying to explain and answer these questions over tight words is kind of tricky. So I thought it might be a good subject to discuss. And what I was trying to discuss when I was talking about the process of Qigong development was really about how the movements are done. And so Qigong practice to me includes a few parts. Obviously, you've got static work, standing work, seated work, and all this. But one of the most common parts that you see are the moving exercises that people do. I would say that the most common things that you will see shown on social media, or the most common things you see people perform or practice, and definitely the most common things people do, are these moving sets of exercises where people are slowly moving their arms around or whatever shape they're doing according to their tradition. So what I was trying to point out, or something that I'm always trying to explain to people that I'm teaching, is that the movements themselves, whatever they may be, you know, we've got all different sets. You've got your Baduan Jin, you've got your animal frolics, you've got your sort of fragrance qigong, you've got your wisdom qigong, you've got jineng, you've got, there's so many out there, there's crazy amounts of movements and exercise. You've got big sets like wild goose, haven't you? And it's unbelievable how many sets of movements there are that people are doing. And all very interesting and stuff, but my point is that the movements don't do anything. Not really. If they're performed for the movement's sake, like just doing the movement doesn't have some magical property to it. And this is something I always try to get across to people, that if I, for example, do this movement as opposed to this movement, it's not actually going to make a lot of difference to your organs or to a particular channel or anything like this. You'll see people doing movements and they think, if I open and close like this, now my lungs are nourished. And if I open and close like this, now my liver is nourished. And if I do this shape with my hand, then now my spleen is nourished or something. And it doesn't really work like that. It's not... Your body doesn't function in that way. And I'm just confused as to why people think these magical movements do something. It's similar in Tai Chi, when you see people do single whip one way and then they'll do a single whip posture another way. And the shape on the outside is different, but there's nothing different on the inside, you know. And why do they think that shape is going to be better than this shape? Making shapes with your body is limited. So that doesn't mean that the moving exercises are pointless by any stretch of the imagination, but what I'm pointing to is that actually there's another way to do them. It's not the movements themselves, it's how you do the movements that matters. This is why if you're taking a beginner and they start Qigong, they will get nothing out of it. They just won't, beyond relaxation and maybe increased blood flow, something like that. Okay, and of course, you can say that's kind of major because a lot of people need to relax and sort out their posture and get increased blood flow, of course. But you could never really say they were going to deep into Qigong, of course, because they can't access the inner workings of Qigong exercises at that early stage. Now, every time I've said that, people always come back at me with, you know, this person did a 5-minute thing and they felt amazing. But again, most of those are just based on relaxation, nothing more. And relaxation can be an amazing tool, but it's not really how Qigong works. It's not based upon Qi. Because the Qi that is inherently there within your body, just like the mechanisms that are inherently there within your body when you're, you know, born or living or whatever, is not enough Qi to be counted as Qigong, or is not enough of a mechanism to be counted as the Qigong mechanism. The inherent normal level of energy you have is not what you're trying to work with in Qigong. You are trying to put your body into a state where there is a surplus, extra qi, which means you're going to have to train your body to develop it. It's going to have to build it. It's not that I just breathe and I eat and now I have extra qi that I can use in my exercises. It doesn't work that way. The training you do should move you into a state of creating a surplus of qi within your body. And then this is what is utilized within the exercises. Now, this surplus of qi, this extra energy you build, is elusive to many. Many people have not really experienced it because you can't build that surplus of qi in conventional ways. So here are some things that don't build qi, for example. Breathing. Okay, maybe inefficient breathing versus efficient breathing, maybe. But just breathing, deep breaths, abdominal breathing, is not going to build extra qi. It's just not. Imagination or visualization is not going to do it. It's not going to build extra qi. Connecting to the stars and the planets and the Big Dipper, It's not going to build extra qi. None of these things do it. Eating food, not really. Like, all of these things can maybe regulate your mind or the level of qi that is inherent within your body, because it can change your natural way of being, maybe change your health a little bit. But it's not gonna do qigong, gong, the quality, the inherent high-level skill of building and working with qi. You need something else. And this is where the movement exercises come in, the opening and closing or the up and down or whatever it is to do within your sets. They should be fairly similar movements, to be perfectly honest. There's not much variation in qigong exercises until we got to modern times. In older times, or you're not even that old, is it? Qigong is not ancient, but there was an era when qigong had some kind of function to it, and the actual movements are very basic. There are a lot of opening and closing, up and down, twisting, stuff like that, but they're not very complicated. They're definitely not. You can learn the choreography, the external choreography of the movements very, very quickly. Now in modern times, qigong has changed, much like yoga has, and I've done a previous podcast on this, where they try to create the most elaborate sets of movements that they can. So you will see these intricate kind of qigong sequences where you have to balance on one leg and go upside down and coordination of this, that, and the other and stretch your limbs. But they're not qigong because they don't work on the same way. They don't work in the same basis. These are modern creations that are just based on the idea of moving your body. It's not really what qigong is about, because the actual movements that you can generate using qigong principles efficiently are quite simple. They're not particularly complicated, not really. Just like Tai Chi, you know, like if people are doing Tai Chi often, they will find the choreography of the Tai Chi form complicated. You know what I mean about the choreography, learning the sequence, okay? The only reason it's difficult is because you've not done another martial art. Because if you've done other martial arts, you will realize the choreography of Tai Chi is actually very, very easy in comparison to other martial arts. If you are only doing Tai Chi on the level of step forward, turn your waist, make the shape, that kind of level, nothing more complicated. If you're only doing the external shapes, it's got some of the easiest choreography in any martial arts system. It really has. Tai Chi only becomes complicated when you start adding in the internal principles. Now it becomes something complex. And the same with Qigong as well. The intricacies and the complexities of the movement are arising because of what is within your body, not what you're doing on the outside. And no Qigong exercises are particularly acrobatic. They don't involve huge amounts of flexibility or twisting. Wudang Mountain kind of changed that when they created their modern, essentially made up, is what it is. It's a modern creation. They kind of took it in down that road. And a lot of other systems started to sort of emulate and copy that, some of the Wushu Qigong or the Animal Frolics or something. And I think all of those sets have their place, but they're not actually based upon traditional principles. They're not. They do not build a surplus of qi. And that's really what differentiates one system of qigong from another, is does it build this surplus of qi? So here's a couple of other myths about qigong. Qigong does not work on the same meridians as Chinese medicine. It just doesn't. It doesn't work on the lung and the large intestine and the stomach and the spleen. And it doesn't work on those channels. Those channels are obviously valid. They're valid for Chinese medicine, valid for acupuncture, valid for shiatsu, valid to even valid for herbal theory as well. They go into the channels, but they're not the channels that are used in qigong particularly. So when I'm moving my arm like this, I'm not trying to get qi to flow through those particular channels or anything. In fact, in qigong, one of the last places that the surplus of qi builds up is in your arms and legs. Generally, it is your torso that is your process that you're working on for a long time. The abdomen, usually in most systems, not all, but usually the abdomen or base of the body first, and then usually then filling the body with qi to create the surplus of energy in the torso afterwards. Arms and legs are normally last. So qi fills up in the body in cavities. This is what is really important. Same as Tai Chi as well. Like, people talk about Tai Chi Chuan, and they talk about meridians, like, you know, when I'm doing my water rollback and press and push, like it's moving it through the lung channel again or large intestine channel. It's not. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't really work on those lines at all. And the same in qigong, because the qi fills the cavities of the body, and that is what is absolutely important. So the internal qualities of Tai Chi are based upon the cavities filling. Not, you know, I don't mean your anus and stuff like that. I mean cavities and spaces within the torso. And then the same in qigong as well. And these cavities are quite big at first. Abdominal cavity, for example, is the first one that's generally worked with. And then later it's smaller and smaller pockets of cavities within your body, such as within the joints and within the tissues and things like this, so that the cavities are pressurized by the filling of the spaces with qi. This is what they mean by filling the body or packing the body with qi or building the surplus of energy. This energy is then stored in the cavities of the body that pressurize. And it's the pressurization of these cavities that then causes the qi to develop in your body. And it's also the pressurization of these cavities that causes your body to mobilize to create the moving exercises. I can see why it's easy to make the error in thought, what I believe is an error in thought of thinking, it's just about a sort of natural flow that takes place inside your body, but it's not right. It's not right. Before I go on and explain to you theoretically how Qigong exercises develop, according to my experience, of course, other people's experience will be different, I should put the disclaimer in that I also don't think there's anything wrong with people doing the other exercises, moving your arms around and flowing and shavasana and all these kind of things people do, because I think they're good for, what do you call them? People who don't move a lot. Sedentary. People who lead a very sedentary lifestyle, they don't move around a lot. They sit on the TV watching the latest TV show, then they eat pizza and sit around and sit at work and work in the office and work on their phone or whatever. I think if you have that kind of lifestyle and you're very stressed and a bit hypertensive or whatever, then I think that doing those moving exercises is fine. It's good for you. I think it's good to get the blood flowing and things. Personally, I think you should also do some resistance training in the gym. It's long been my view, but I think that those exercises are good for people, or if someone's very elderly or they've had an injury or something. But let's not pretend for a second that it's Qigong, because it's not. It's something derived from Qigong. Because if I'm watching the body movements of someone who has mastered Qigong, has gone very, very deep into Qigong, then I should see that their body moves according to certain principles or certain ways of moving. There are certain things inherent within the body, and you can see after a while how the qi and the cavities are mobilizing in order to generate the actions within their qigong movements, or as in the majority of cases, not. So in this podcast, I'm going to try to outline a series of stages, four or five, depends how far I get, of developmental stages for your body that you should go through in qigong in order to move deeper and deeper into your training. And I'm aware it's a podcast. You know, so I try to demonstrate movements as little as possible because I'm aware that some people will be listening to this. So obviously, if they're listening, they can't see what I'm doing. So I will try to describe as best I can. And this podcast will mostly be relevant to people who do practice Qigong already that have a rough idea what I'm talking about. If you don't practice Qigong, then theoretically, this will be very difficult to follow. So the reason we take our body through the stages is because at least at the beginning, your body, the body method, okay, the fire of your body, the body method, is what's important for moving Qigong practitioners. If you have a system that's based on a lot of movements or has a lot of movements in it, it's all about the body transformation. What is changing inside your body so that your body functions differently? That is what Shenfar is about, okay, the body method. So you want your body to get to a stage where it pressurizes and mobilizes efficiently so that it produces qi, because the qi is produced in your body. It is not gathered from the outside. Some people take it from herbs or things like that, of course, some alchemical traditions, but generally you want the majority of your qi produced in your body. Now, at the beginning, this dense form of qi that's produced in your body is produced as a byproduct of your body becoming a more efficient machine for qigong practice. Later, this qi is produced in more ethereal layers. So it can be produced at the level of mind and then produced at the level of being and many sort of stratifications of yourself that sit deeper and deeper back within who you are. But right at the start, it's your body. The body method must be developed so that your body functions efficiently for Qigong practice. And this is where your exercises come in. This is the error I think many people make. It's not that your body is trying to perform the exercises. You are using the exercises to transform your body and how it functions. That's what's important. So as an example of this, people are very frustrated when they come to learn with me because I'm a complete heathen, philistine, whatever you call it, and culturally, the sort of cultural aspects of the arts don't really appeal to me. It's very much the practicality or the functionality that interests me. So one thing that people encounter with me is that I will teach them, and very rarely do I finish a set of Qigong exercises. So if there's 10 movements in a set, I'll get through 7, I'll get through 8 or something like that if we're lucky. Sometimes I'll just do 1 because I'm using that exercise as a tool to transform the body, so that my class is often based upon what the student needs to transform their body, rather than going, oh, they need to collect the whole set, like they're collecting football stickers or something like this, because none of that matters to me. None of that matters to me at all. The only people who, in my opinion, who should know the whole set of exercises, if you like, or it's important to, are teachers, so that they have all of the tools at their disposal. Because if you think about it like this, if you have 10 movements in a Qigong set, going through all 10 rarely produces some magical outcome. Because I did all 10, it'll be good. If I only did 6 of them, I'll die, or my meridians will explode, or something like that. It doesn't work that way. The set normally includes a series of tools. And if you know what you're doing as a teacher, you can take from that toolbox and use various tools to help the student transform their body. That's what you're trying to do. And if the student has the correct tools given to them, then they perform the exercises to transform the body, so the body changes. So in the end, the result of their tuition or the result of their training is not that they know a whole set. The result of the training is that they have transformed their body. That is what they're trying to do. So you see what I mean? This is why I think only teachers, I'm only ever worried about teachers knowing the whole set, because they're the ones who need all the tools. The students don't really need it. They just need to produce more qi, or they need to get the body to function more efficiently, or whatever it is we're trying to do. You know, there's many things we might be aiming for in a class. There are some sets that are an exception. They work in sequence, but they're normally much, much further down the line in Qigong, and they don't matter until your body is transformed. Until your body is transformed, it doesn't matter. If your body is not transformed into the right mechanism, then we can give you a set for the most complicated channel opening. It won't really work. Not really, because you need the body transformed. So when we transform the body, what that means is the exercises will take a simple movement, even just opening and closing with your hands, something like that, which is a common movement in most Qigong systems. They will open and close their hands somewhere. You will need to take your body through a series of transformative stages. And these transformative stages are a marker that the exercise is doing its work and now you are learning Qigong. So the first stage is the one that most people get stuck on, which is choreography. Obviously, when you start, you have to learn a shape. So you have to learn to move from your quad properly, open your spine, line up your hips, line up your shoulders, where to put your mass, how to move your body, those kind of things, okay? Those kind of things are very basic, and it's where you start. Some people's bodies are in such a mess from injuries or poor posture or whatever that takes some time. You have to kind of stretch the body open and create some space in it so you can realign it. But all that choreography work is considered stage one. So this is what I call conventional movement. I am just moving my body according to whatever principles. It's the same in Qigong, same in Tai Chi. That stage can aid with relaxation, can make your body line up better, but it does nothing with Qi. Not really. Not with any great degree of energetic awareness. Sometimes people that are either very sensitive or very anxious, because often the same result can be produced from both. If they're very sensitive, naturally very in tune in body, they will feel all the little fluctuations in their nervous system at the level of the skin. The skin will tingle, the skin will feel things. And sometimes these feelings can be tingling or little prickles or hot or cold or sometimes things twisting around, but it's all just sensations in your nerves. Nothing more. It's not qi. Then the second group will be people who are very anxious. People who've had a very life where they have to stay on alert. Maybe their parents used to argue a lot when they were a kid and they had to stay sort of hyper aware or something like that, or people who've got some traumas or something, will be very aware of their nervous system as well, because their mind is trying to sort of read any potential threats. And the byproduct of this is they will feel a lot inside their nervous system as well. So anxious people and sensitive people, if you like, can get very similar outcomes. But all of those feelings to me are not, I mean, they're interesting at first, but they're not, you know, they're nothing special. They are nerves reacting to what you're doing and sensations in your skin. In the same way that an unsensitive person, your average bricklayer or something like that, will do the exercise and not feel that, will not feel those reactions inside their nervous system. But he's not better or worse than the other. It's just whether you're tuned into what your nerves are doing or not. But that's not qi. It's not qi. Unfortunately, lots of people get stuck here at what Bodhidharma, actually, according to myth, entitled skin depth practice, meaning your qi is very, very thin, if you like, and you're only working at the level of skin. So people who are doing choreography will be at that depth. They'll be able to feel stuff moving through their body. I mean, if I go to skin depth and I just open my arms out, I feel things rush and tingle along the surface of my skin. It's like little electrical pulses or something like that. But it's just nerves. It's skin depth. It's not really qi. So then we have to get past that and get to stage two. And stage two is where your dantian and your hands come in. These are the key, dantian and hands. I've long been of the opinion that the only thing that matters structurally within your body, once you've got the obvious choreography in place, is how does your dantian and your hands relate? So basically what I mean by this, and this is what a lot of my students spend a long time doing in the school that I run, is getting to the stage where the hand and the dantians can communicate. Because if you take a beginner and they move their hands, nothing happens on the inside of the body, okay? If you take a person and you train them so that the body is transformed, when they move their hands, it starts to change the inside of the torso and it starts to influence the dantian. So this is why you move your hands around in various shapes outside your body. Sometimes in martial arts, you will hear a principle, right? That the center moves your hands, okay? A very basic principle. So when I move my center, my hands move so that my hands aren't separate from my body. Center moves the hands. In Qigong, it is the opposite. My hands move my center. My hands move my center. What my hands are doing changes what happens inside the torso. The reason for this is because, I'm not trying to get power. I'm not trying to hit anyone with it. So I don't need to get my power from the center to my fist or anything. I'm only trying to work with my chi. So my hands control the center. So when I move my hands around, if I have built the dantian, then the dantian's relationship to the hands, to Lao Gong, the place of work, that's why we're doing the work, and I move it around, it will cause changes on the inside of the body. I very rarely meet many people who get to that stage, if they've just randomly started in Qigong, if they've not been taught how to do it, for the simple reason that you don't start with a dantian. Doesn't matter what they say, you don't start with a dantian. It's not a natural inherent thing within your body. So you have to build it. And realistically for me, when I see people trying to build the dantian, if they're training regularly, then within a few months it can start. 2-3 months, something like that. Then within 3 years, it's pretty well built. It takes about 3 years to build the dantian. And I don't think that's very long anyway. So until the dantian is built, you can't actually move from choreography to next stage, which is getting the hands to influence the inside of the body, not to any high degree. So let me explain it like this. Because I'm aware that podcasts are theoretical, even though people sometimes put negative comments and say, why are you just doing theory? I'll tell you why, because it's a podcast and a lot of people are listening to it on a podcast app. That's why. But it's very difficult we're doing these to try to explain these concepts without demonstrations, of course. But I will try. Such is the nature of a podcast. Basically, when you build the dantian, it builds a kind of magnetism inside your body. Okay, it's probably not pure magnetism at first, but it's a kind of magnetism, meaning that you feel the influence of your dantian start to pull and push upon your body. And what it will pull and push upon are the tissues. Okay, all of the connective tissues that run through the inside of your body. And as it pulls upon those connective tissues, it will stretch and mobilize the cavities inside. So all of the cavities will pull and push and open and close on the inside of your body when the dantian is built. So basically when the dantian mobilizes, the inside of my body starts to move. This is not something you can do biomechanically. It's not something you can do physiologically in a conventional sense. So I see people talking about the dantian and then they try to sort of do belly dancing inside or something, but that's not what a dantian is. The dantian basically is I build enough qi inside the abdominal space, or at least at the beginning it is, so that it builds a kind of magnetism that starts to push and pull on the cavities and lines of the body inside. After a while, I can get Lao Gong, center of my hand, to communicate with this dantian so that when I move my hands closer to or further away from the dantian or manipulate my hands, then the inside of my body will start to stretch and change. The inside of your body will come to life big time. Like, it's actually quite painful at first because the stretching and the pushing and the pulling feels like lines of strong, taut, elastic tension stretching and pulling through the inside. And often your body is not open enough, so it will hit blockages and things where it has to kind of adhesively open. And as the dantian moves and pulls all those tissues inside, it transforms your body. That's what it's trying to do. It's working on the inside. It's like you all of a sudden develop a whole load of new joints on the inside that aren't based upon your skeleton. And this becomes important because at this stage, you can start to do, again, what a lot of people miss, is you can separate the skeleton from your flesh. Okay, so that my skeleton can stay still or my skeleton can perform a movement and the flesh can pull and twist around the skeleton separately. So the muscles, or the flesh, sorry, and the bones are separating from one another. So your external movement, meaning what your skeleton is doing, and your internal movement, meaning what all of the flesh is doing, stretching and pulling around your body, are separated. The skeletal movement, external movement, is directed by conventional principles at this stage, moving around. The inside of your body is directed by the changes of the dantian and the energy moving into the cavities of your body that are pushing and pulling your body open. So let me reiterate, this stage of the Qigong creates a lot of pressure, a lot of discomfort, stretch, pull, very uncomfortable stage, amusing sometimes when things are pushing and pulling. It's beyond skin depth, it's inside, the dantian is directing it, but you don't do it conventionally. I can't control my dantian with conventional physical movement. Internal movement is a very specific thing that is developed by the formation and existence of the dantian. And honestly, it's very rare to see it in Qigong amongst even so-called masters. They don't have even this level of training often. They generally have, been a bit blunt here, aren't I? They generally just have standard choreography. And then what they do is they overload of stuff on, a load of nonsense. So they say, do this conventional movement, it will open this channel. Do this conventional movement and the energy of the star will enter your body or something like that, which is crap. Because otherwise, every time you did a very repeated movement, like reaching for a door handle that you do every day, you would start to open channels and draw energy from the stars, but it's not true. External movement on its own will not do it. The external movement is created or being used so that as I mobilize the outside, the inside of my body starts to pressurize and change so that my body can convert, the body method can change. The body that builds from it is relaxed, but it is not ragdoll loose. And this is a part of the error. If your body becomes ragdoll loose in Qigong or Tai Chi or any of these arts, it's not right. So I traveled around China a lot and Southeast Asia and saw this kind of divide, the sort of three schools in martial arts and Qigong. You had the schools that were very tense externally. And they, I think especially in martial arts, that was common. Even in arts like Tai Chi, I remember going to one Tai Chi teacher in, was it Nanjing? Not sure. I went to see him anyway for a few days. And one of the first things he said was, I'm sick of all this relaxation stuff. You have to make your body tense. And it was a Tai Chi class. These Tai Chi people like, moving through extreme tension, but not clever tension, just, you know, the standard stuff. So consequently, he was creating power in just a very standard sort of tense way. It wasn't particularly good. Then I didn't stay long. I stayed enough to be polite and then left. Then you have the other schools, which are very, very soft and very rag dolly, and they never really build any power, and they're all about just opening the body, and they think this power is going to magically become because they keep relaxing, and looser and looser and looser, and more power will arise. It doesn't. It never arises. They'll never get to the point where they're relaxed enough that so much power arises. They get these sort of wet flicks with their fingers and stuff like that, and I saw this a lot in modern contemporary sort of wushu versions of Tai Chi or Wudang Mountain type stuff and things like this. And there's nothing in it, really. There are some that have innovated. Okay, I will say, with even within traditions like Wudang Shan or something, which are a modern created Wushu schools, there are still some individuals that have innovated. And what's happened with those individuals that innovate is they've normally incorporated stuff from outside and elsewhere in order to change it because they've realized that the art itself is kind of empty. So they've created a kind of fusion, and some of them have done a pretty good job with it. But generally, most of the sort of Wudang Wushu stuff falls into this trap of just loose, loose, loose for the sake of loose. And it's not really, it doesn't have any qi. Like, you never meet anyone who actually understands what qi is. They generally work on the level of either Chinese medical theory or nervous system energy moving. And that was after spending a fair bit of time there checking it out that I realized this. So like I say, as a caveat to that, there are some individuals who have innovated by incorporating things from other places and made some pretty cool stuff, but it's not really the majority of what's practiced there, to be honest. So that's the second school, that kind of loose school, you know. And then there is the third way of doing it, which is about this, which is basically that I take off the outside tension so I can line everything up. That's where the tension, take off the outside tension so I can line everything up. Then build the dantian and connect it to the hand so that when I start to move through the postures of the exercises, it causes the magnetism and the qi to move inside my body to pressurize the cavities to create more power. Now, this power that is created, power is a dirty word to many people, you know, and I'm not talking power because a lot of people associate it with, you know, everything from the Illuminati through to that guy that bullied them at school, their teacher or something like that, and have issues around it. But the power I'm talking about is more about like a power and an efficiency in the body, strength that is generated that will pressurize the cavity so your body can start to build qi. In Tai Chi, it will fill the body with later we can direct it into Peng. In the case of Qigong, it can fill up your body with this surplus of energy that I was talking about, this Qi. So what you will get is the outside of your body gets quite soft, but the inside of your body becomes quite hard. Okay, it starts to pressurize and build up and inflate your body out. We'll push your skeleton open and build all this sort of filling of the cavities. Now, this way of working is basically based on building the Nantian and then the hands influencing the inside. And at this stage, now each of your exercises in your exercise set will work differently. Because if I move my hands in and out, or I move my hands up and down, or I move diagonally, or whatever I do, the movement of my hands in relationship to the Dantian will pressurize different cavities and different lines inside my body. So now, depending on the movement I'm doing, I will start to transform the inside of my system. And realistically, most people need to go through a couple of years of that. So I'm talking 5 years now before you can even get to the stage where Qigong exercises are differentiated from one another. So they have different functions, because that 5 years, 3 years is spent getting the Dantian, a form of lining the body up, and then 2 years is working with that thing you've built in order to transform the inside of your system. And that's for a regular trainer of the arts. So basically, this body transformation goes on for quite some time, of getting the, like say, the hands to control the inside of your body. And when I'm training students to do this, it normally takes me a little while. I mean, it takes a few months for them to really understand what I'm on about and to get a slight feel for it. Other just a number of years, 3 years, ready to go through that process of mobilizing the insides of your body using the hands, or rather using Lao Gong, in order to convert the body and train the body method. So still at this stage, my opinion, my experience shows me that until the body has gone through that process for a few years, it's very difficult for students to get many of the exercises to work to any great degree. They might be able to wave their arms around and relax a bit, but they can't actually access the proper mechanisms that Qigong are based upon. So you have to go through that body transformation method, in my opinion, if you want to go deep. The next stage after that, stage three, isn't it? Not very good at counting. It's based upon relationships of points. And it's very difficult to explain this one. But basically, the points on your body, not all of the ones on the Acupuncture channel, some core points. So we could take, for example, Dantian and Lao Gong as 3 points. Sometimes we use Bai Hui, sometimes a crown, something like this. What happens is these points are related to one another. And now the body is fully connected. What it will essentially create is like a triangle, usually, of points. And they're placed in space together. So here, as opposed to here, as opposed to here, to create these triangles. And then what happens is the inside of my body, I allow the qi to mobilize from the dantian through the cavities, and the body will realign itself in relationship to those points. Okay, this is really key. It's like the movement or the placements of the points that are now activated in space creates a container. And when I release the qi on the inside, the body will flow to fit that container. So it will adjust a little bit inside. So now if I put the hands in different shapes, what happens is the points relating to each other will stress different cavities, which will drive the qi into further cavities of the body, which starts to create more pressure and push the channels open, essentially. So it's a very interesting stage. So if I place my hands in this triangular shape, for example, triangle is in Lao Gong, Dantian, Lao Gong here. And what happens is I just simply release the qi inside, then my body will rearrange. And then if I move to a different shape and then again release the qi inside, my body will rearrange differently. At this stage, your Qigong exercises become almost like stop frame animation, you know, like a series of alignments of the points that your body is changing in time to. So it creates a very different way of mobilizing the qi, because your body is now, or your qi is now adjusting from the dantian usually into the cavities in relationship to you moving and mobilizing those points in space. This creates a deeper level of body transformation. And really at this stage, you're moving towards what I would consider expertise of Qigong, maybe not a master, but you're becoming very good at it. You know, you're certainly very, you could certainly say proficient at the art of Qigong on the level of body transformation by this stage, you know. And all of the stuff you do, as it fills up the cavities in this way and your body is changing in relationship to these points, it's now producing a surplus of qi. Now you are filling up. Energy is being produced inside the body, which you can do whatever you want with. We can store it in the dantian in some traditions, or send it right down the base of the body, or some traditions will want to move it in certain orbits. Some traditions want to be able to get it out of the body for medical stuff or whatever. You know, like all different traditions will do different things with it, but they all rely again on this surplus of energy that is produced. This third stage as well is really when he can access all of the stuff that you sometimes hear about that have become common in contemporary Qigong, such as sacral pump or spinal pumping or qua mobilization on a deep level or any of these things. We talk about these, and these pumps or these lines or these bows being pulled are not generated mechanically. I don't use a conventional mechanism to generate them. In the same way, I don't conventionally try to embryonic breathe or try to four gates breathe or any of these things. None of these are things you do. All of these, the pumps, the spinal moves, it's all generated from inside once you reach this stage where the points relate to one another, and then the qi wakes up these different mechanisms inside your body. So now you start to go deeper and deeper into the internal arts. I've seen lots of people trying to do crazy things like bend their spine a certain way or release their sacrum way to create a pump, and it never works. What you create is a physical facsimile of it, or a copy of it, but you never actually get the real thing. So that's the kind of next stage, and I don't want to go too deep into that because it's probably very hard to explain purely theoretically, but hopefully some people at this stage will listen to this might understand. But again, it really relies on the dantian, and you have to have specific training to build that dantian. Never believe any school when they say they're the only one. That's definitely not the case, but there are, you know, you will need one of the methods that is used to build the dantian realistically. So then that will lead you on to a deeper part of the training. And this is really where the body method finishes for me, which is something called Yi Dao Qi Dao, sometimes translated as Yi leads the Qi or something like that. Where the Qi goes, where the Yi goes, the Qi goes. And it's an okay translation, I suppose, but it kind of suggests that you move your mind through your body to move the Qi, or you imagine something move the Qi, but I disagree. If I were to creatively translate it, Yi meaning the movements or the nature of your mind, if you like, your intellectual mind. Dao, the fruition of a journey. To me, it's not the guiding, it's the fruition of a journey. And then Qi, the mobilization of energy and the processes inherent with it and the fruition of that energy's journey. That's what it says to me. So if I were to translate that into English, it would be the innate cultivated qualities of your mind will cause, as a byproduct of this, your Qi to move to a certain state, which is not quite the same. Okay, it's not the same as the Yi leads the Qi. I'm probably going to translate it differently, but essentially, the innate cultivated qualities of your mind will, as a byproduct of them existing, cause your Qi to move to a certain pattern. So it is the fruition of your mental training combined with transforming the body's energy means that your Qi will start to pattern itself according to your mind. So what this means is when I bring my mind into my body, and the two interface via the medium of qi. The qi is a bridge between the mind and the body. If I have cultivated the correct qualities through ethics, morals, centeredness, meditative training, heart fasting, whatever it is inherent within your condition, so my mind is in a different state. When the mind goes into the body, the result of this habitual training of the mind and the quality of mind means the qi will repattern, and that will start to organize itself in a certain way. Once it gets to this level, then what happens is as my qi moves, it will change the shape of the body on the outside. This is the first time the qi will change your physical form, create the outside shape. So what you will get is the cultivated quality of your mind plus your converted body means that the qi will start to mobilize the cavities to create the movements on the outside. So now your external movements will be as a byproduct of what your mind and your qi is doing. But in order to get there, it takes a long time. We're talking nearly a decade of training to get to that stage to any level, because you need a lot of qi, you need a dantian, and you need your mind cultivated. And many people will struggle to cultivate the mind to get to that stage. And that is a deep level of Qigong training once you get to there, you know. What it means is, as well, is if you look at it like this, if I know that if I pattern my body's points in a certain way and my body is full of Qi, and then I allow a certain innate quality to arise within my mind, then my body, as a byproduct of what my mind is doing, will form a shape. And if I mobilize the Qi another way, my body will form a different shape as a byproduct of this. And once you understand the different formations of mind and Qi, you will realize that many of the archetypal shapes that appear within Qigong and Tai Chi are externally produced as a byproduct of the qualities of your mind and your Qi. So therefore, somebody back in antiquity learned to pattern their body's energy and their mind's energy a certain way. The certain forms were created in their body, and then they took those forms and they codified them into an external system. And the internal martial arts often were created like this as well. This might sound too woo-woo for people or too crazy, but it is how they were formed. It's just a fact. So then what happens is you took the external movements that were produced from inside as a byproduct of cultivation, and they started to codify them into methods. And then these methods were misunderstood, and people tried to think they worked by circulating qi up and down your arm channels or something like that, but it wasn't really what it was about. Once you get to that stage where the yi leads the qi, if you want, the simpler version of the translation of it, you will start to understand how Wu Wei, non-governance, becomes very, very important, non-doing or non-governance of conditions to me. Because now when my mind is in the body and it is non-governing, then what it means is it's not really what my mind does, because my mind is non-doing. It is the innate qualities within my mind instead that causes the qi to repattern, that mobilizes the exercises. And this will start to create a form of movement called Zuran. So Wu Wei will lead to Zuran. And Zuran essentially means like the self, the natural self, is expressed through your body, sometimes mistranslated as nature, meaning a tree or something like that. Taoist should be like a tree. But it wasn't really what it meant. It meant that if I apply a Wu Wei, non-governance, upon the yi that has been cultivated, then the qi will pattern itself in a certain way, and then a deeper part of the self is expressed as a natural byproduct of this, and this will generate my action, which in the case of qigong is the action of the movement of the exercise. But of course, that principle is then applied in different ways to Tai Chi or even alchemy or something like that. So, it's deep. It's deep. This is where I differ from many in that my approach to Qigong is this, is that I think that when you take a student who wants to be sincere and go deep, really deep, as a lot of people do these days, then they'll need to go through that process of transforming the body so the mechanism is there, so they can go through that process to understand these things such as Wu Wei and Zuran and Yi Da Qi Da, to get to the stage where they can perform Qigong properly. And then I consider that the body method done. That's the first years of training to get to that stage. And if you take someone sequentially through it, they can do it. Now, I'm not telling you this to advertise my school particularly, because I don't care. People can go wherever they want. And there are other schools that do this work as well. But I want to explain it, because I want people to understand what I wrote when I wrote that social media post that caused the confusion. And secondly, A and B. and B, I want people to know, like, this is how I view Qigong practice, or this is the essence of it for me. So the exercises transform your body. And this kind of is why I find the visualization or the imagination useless, or learning more and more sequences, or thinking that if you make some particular shape, the energy of the stars will come down and open your channels or something, because it will not. It's not how it works. And if I want to understand how good somebody is, not for any mean judgment thing, but whether I meet them or whether they're anything useful for me to communicate with them about, or even when someone comes into the class and they start moving, I'll know where to teach them from, is I can see in their body which stage they are at. Have they got the coordination? Most people can do that pretty quick. Can they get the hands to mobilize the inside? Can they then get the points to relate to each other to create the changing conditions of the qi? Can they then get this to produce an externalized movement? And then as the mind got to the stage where the yi is guiding the qi through innate qualities, if they have, then I know that's years of training, and I can see within that the dantian and the pressurization of the chambers and the surplus of qi that they're building, and then I know that they're pretty good at what they're doing. If, on the other hand, they are just making their body looser and looser and performing these shapes or whatever they're doing, and then I know that realistically, if they want to actually do qigong, they have to start again. They have to start right from the beginning, because the body is not lined up properly, the dantian is not there, and really they'll never access qigong, they'll never get into it, unless they're prepared to do that. But again, I'll finish, I may sound horribly elitist, and I know that I'm going to sound like that, but it's not really how I am. I've got friends and even some sort of more removed family members that are doing, within their area, more conventional qigong. So every day they go, they do their shibashi and they move around or something like that or whatever. I'm pro it. I'm totally pro it. I got a friend who's into the Wudang Wushu, and I'm pro that too. Like, good for them, because they're moving their bodies and stuff like that. So I'm not anti all of those other stuff, not at all. I think that's an unhealthy attitude to have. I'm literally only speaking to those people who are fanatical enough that they really want to go deep into that art, which is not everybody, but those people who want to. I want just to try to assist, really, by trying to at least explain a little bit of what you should be looking for or what should be happening to your body if you're going to enter an authentic Qigong system. And if you walk in and you're wandering up and down, pretending to be an animal and going low to the ground and then up and then wave your arms and low to the ground and stretch and open and learning 100 movements, then it's fine, but you are in a modern, contemporary, modernized exercise system form of Qigong, and it will not build Qi, it will not build the Dantian, and it will not do what it is you're looking for. Because I believe that everybody should be able to do whatever they want within these different systems, but you should all have knowledge of what it leads to. And for exercise and mobilizing your body, actually the modern systems are probably better. To be honest, it's easier. But for those people who want to go into the development of actual Qi and explore what these concepts are and how the internal arts work, you will need something deeper. And as long as people choose the right thing for them, then all good. Because I've seen some people who are frustrated. I've seen people come to what I'm teaching and just be horrified within 10 minutes, like, oh my God, I just wanted to relax. They're better off not in my class, to be honest. So you just want to chill. There's many places to go. Go learn Shabasha or Badwanchin or whatever. Whatever, I don't mind. Go find something that will be much easier for you to do that in, because otherwise I'll just torture you and you shouldn't be here. And I feel mean with those people, like it's not the right place. And then on the other hand, I've known people that have gone to the really wushuified modern exercise systems thinking they're going deep, and then 5 years in they realize it's not leading to anything. It's leading to nothing at all. And then there's a frustration because they wasted lots of time that they would have spent on traditional training. And And this is where I think the issue comes. It's not what people do. It's just that it should be correctly understood. So when you're going into these arts, you know what you're getting in for. And as long as that happens, then it was good. So I'll leave it there anyway. And maybe this was a failed podcast because it's a theoretical explanation of something that is very somatically tangible. It's hard to get across. All I can do is try and explain it this way and whatever. So apologies if this one was lost on people, but this was basically answering the queries about how I see the development of the body method in Qigong and why it's important. Okay, thanks.